Welcome to the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I'm Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law, where we specialise in succession law, civil disputes and litigation in Queensland. If you want to safeguard your assets, navigate estate planning with confidence, or resolve legal conflicts effectively, you're in the right place. Join me each week as we break down complex legal issues into clear, practical insights, helping you protect your legacy and find solutions with certainty. So let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the Vicar Law Podcast. I am your host, Lydia Vicar, Director of Vicar Law. And very excitingly today, I have recorded a special podcast with my first guest on the Vicar Law Podcast, Danielle Phillips of Sage Executor Solutions. Now, Danielle, I think, has really hit a niche market in helping executors do all the administrative tasks associated with administering estate. There's obviously more than legals, and sometimes you don't even need legal involved, but it doesn't change the fact that there are lots of little bits and pieces that need to be dealt with at a time when you're usually, as an executor, grieving the person that has passed away as well. So Danielle comes in, she's not a lawyer, she just comes in and handles all the administration side of it for the executors. Sometimes they work in tandem, sometimes they don't, but it's a great service. And I honestly recommend most of my executors to her service just because of the burden that she takes away from people. So the discussion that we had is really good about how she started, how she can help executors, the real pain points that she's finding people are hitting, and also kind of the timing in terms of administering estate. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. It is a really good one. All right. So welcome, Danielle, to the Vicar Law Podcast. It is great to have you on as our very first guest.
Thanks, Lydia. It's great to be here.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you came up with the idea for Sage Executor Solutions.
Yes, thank you. And it is quite a personal story, so I hope it's okay to share. It all started back in 2020 when we all remember that lovely time of COVID. And I got a call from my dad, who had just been rushed into hospital in New South Wales due to breathing difficulties. I jumped on a flight and got into New South Wales. However, if we can all remember, New South Wales and Victoria had massive lockdowns due to the many cases that we all had in those states. So unfortunately, whilst I was able to get into the state, I wasn't able to get into the hospital and to say goodbye to my dad before he went into ICU. And to make matters more complicated, he was my mum's full-time carer. She had a very neurological disorder. And he was whisked away so quickly in the ambulance, they didn't even get to say goodbye. So basically, mum and I had to say goodbye on FaceTime in the instance that he didn't come out of ICU. 3 days later, after biopsy, it was found out that he did have a very aggressive cancer, and we were allowed into the ICU in order to instruct them to turn off the breathing device.
Oh, my gosh.
That was trauma in itself.
Yes, yes. And then you've got the next trauma.
Then I've got up in New South Wales, quite isolated, just in the home with mum, because we couldn't have more than, four people in a household at the one time. We had 10 people allowed at the funeral. So there was a whole lot of restrictions around family coming together around that time. But I stayed up in New South Wales to be mum's carer for 3 months. And as soon as South Australia opened the borders, I packed her bags and brought her back down to SA with me. And she went into a lovely residential aged care facility where she spent another 15 months down here, but she was deteriorating and after 15 months did pass away. So there was all of that grief around the loss of parents and being an only child and the next of kin, but I was the executor. And it became very clear very quickly, very soon after the cremation and memorial service, that there was a whole new journey ahead for me. And It was a full-time job of a state administration, and there was no support in the middle layer of admin, which really takes up what I believe is most of the executor and next of kin's time, whether it be on hold to Telstra or sending forms back and forward to Centrelink or dealing with share registries. It is separate to needing to get a grant of probate. And, Lydia, you are amazing at what you do. And I'm so fortunate that I too had a great probate lawyer to help me through that journey. But it was the other 200 hours of paperwork that really didn't leave me with any space and capacity to grieve. So I thought, look, someone needs to step in. Someone needs to take the reins here and become a bit of a support service and navigator, and someone that can take over that role for the executor and family so that they can grieve. And so that's how Sage Executor Solutions was born.
I wanted to say that's such a good story, but I obviously it's a very sad story, but something so wonderful has come from the grief, because I do find that it would resonate for a lot of my clients that they end up being usually the sole person. You know, even if two people are appointed executor, there's usually one person that takes that charge. And while they're also grieving, it's a particularly, you know, hard thing to do. And, you know, I've seen the list that you've provided me of a checklist of things that needs to be done, and there are so many things. So what do you find is the bulk of your work, those like non-legal tasks that you're doing for executors?
Yes, and everyone probably at some point would have been given a list of organizations to notify by a funeral director or perhaps an aged care facility or the hospital, which I was given as well. And yes, there was a good long list of organizations to notify, but I really did not have the mental or emotional capacity to do it. As savvy as I was and as capable as I was, when you're in a space of grief, it's not as easy as, okay, jump on a website, download a form, fill out a form and send it through. It becomes very overwhelming. And a lot of these websites that we need to tap into are very confusing and convoluted. So the bulk of my work is made up of procuring all of the forms and documents and instruction paperwork from organizations and institutions such as banks, superannuation companies, share registries or third-party trading platforms, as well as all of the nitty-gritty like roads and maritime registration paperwork, licensing, mail redirections, and even little things like the Electoral Commission a lot of people overlook. And we assume that Centrelink will inform them of someone's passing, but they don't. As well as little nuances like that, I'm also procuring a lot of documentation for notifying and updating insurance providers, particularly home insurers. If someone has left a property vacant due to death, we need to make sure that the insurer is updated as soon as practicable. Otherwise, if there is an incident at the property and they weren't aware it was vacant, they may not pay on a claim. So there's sort of 40 different spokes on the wheel that I touch on, but the majority really, and what takes up most of the time, is the procurement and the filling out of the paperwork, as well as the liaison back and forward with these organizations.
And I think, you know, recently we've worked on a couple together where there's been no will, which adds an even further complication to the estate, because you don't really have a real understanding of what is in the estate. You know, when I do estate planning meetings, I make sure that I get a very detailed list of assets and liabilities of, you know, the testator. And so that can be used, but when you don't have a will, it just adds to the time and the complication for everybody.
It definitely does. If no one is aware of what your estate is made up of, it makes that person's job very hard to try and administer it. Absolutely. So, yes, planning is essential.
And at the moment, when you're getting clients, what is the biggest pain points that they're finding? You know, who's the biggest pain? I mean, we all hate banks. They're a bit annoying. But where's the biggest pain point for most people?
Look, I try to take as much of the pain off them. So what I'll do is I'll respond to that in what is the biggest pain for me. The biggest challenges that I come across are where people have had separate bank accounts, separate insurance policies, separate accounts or memberships.
Yeah.
Because what then happens is even if a person was sharing a house with their spouse, but the home insurance policy was under the deceased's name, it's not as simple as simply transferring that policy over to the surviving spouse. They were never on the account to begin with. So what we then have to do is start cancelling all of these existing policies and resetting them up
Yes.
under the surviving person's name. And when that happens, you also find that you're losing loyalty concessions that you may have accrued with a provider over a long period of time.
All these things.
All these things. So I would say, like, the commitment in itself is a really big pain point. People are so stretched for time as it is. But little things like not having accounts in joint names can make such a difference in
Absolutely.
terms of how seamlessly we can have, accounts and policies switched over.
Yes, I find that as well. Quite often what will happen is that couples will have, properties in joint names. They'll have a lot of stuff in joint names except the one main bank account, which has the chunk of the money. And what that means is that, as you know, is that the surviving spouse then has to wait for probate to be able to get access to that account, which can take time. And at the moment, I think I did mention in my podcast recently or on one of the blogs that probate in Queensland, for example, is currently taking 10 to 12 weeks. Crazy. And that is such a long time for people without funds as well. So that's why leads great to my next one. My next question is, what practical tips would you give to people when they're preparing their estate plan so that they can help everyone once they've passed away?
Yes, love that question. And there's so much that we're not told or trained on when it comes to estate planning. There's just a really holistic piece that we need to look at.
Yes.
And I think the will and the power of attorney, and that is the foundation of your estate plan. However, if we can almost get our 40 ducks lined up, it's going to make it a whole lot easier for our executor or administrator to step in. And what that even looks like, and I do a bit of a pre-planning piece with my clients as well, is we even look at how much it could cost to administer this estate so that the testator and their executor can even have some funds put aside in a separate account that's accessible by the executor only once the person passes away, so the executor is not out of pocket $10,000 to $15,000, because we've got probate application fees, we've got court
Yes.
filing fees, we've got conveyancing fees for property sales, we've got real estate agent fees, and sometimes they won't always allow all of those costs to come out of the sale of the property. We sometimes need to get financial advice, particularly when it comes to superannuation tax implications. People that are on a pension about to have a couple of hundred thousand dropped into their account means that they could almost lose the pension. And similarly, if someone has a lump sum in super and they want that to go to a defined beneficiary, but that person is not a dependent, that person will be taxed.
Yes.
So it's looking at that financial piece around, is there a withdrawal and recontribution opportunity where the funds can be put into the estate and treated as part of the entire asset pool in the estate rather than treated separately to super. So having all of these conversations and looking at these pieces of the puzzle are going to make it so much easier for your executor to navigate their way through it, but also for your beneficiaries to not end up in a worse off position than they were before your passing as well. And even, making sure you've got your original marriage certificates, original birth certificates, or divorce orders, because again, superannuation companies won't pay a claim unless you can prove that you're legally married or legally divorced. And which, if you haven't got those documents on file, your executor is going to need to request replacements once you've passed away. And that's really hard too.
Yes, absolutely. And these are really things that, when I do estate planning meetings, we do talk about all this stuff because it really does matter down the other end. And people have to have an understanding. That's why You know, I harp on about it, but no DIY wills, no post
No.
office wills. Okay. But you don't get that proper advice. And the other thing that I think is really important as well is, where appropriate, people speaking to their beneficiaries
Yes.
about what the estate looks like and their plan. I find particularly, and I say this in particular to clients that have gone with testamentary trusts, it can sometimes be a little bit of a shock when people, and you know, it's just human nature, not that people are, you know, waiting for you to die, but people just naturally think about their inheritance. And
Yeah.
when they receive a will that doesn't see everything going straight into their bank account, it can be a little off-putting. So I also think that it's very important that if you're going down that route or you have something a little bit unusual, that you're speaking to your beneficiaries where it is appropriate to do so, speaking to them about your wishes and what you want, and also doing a letter of wishes. It's always offered to my clients as a complimentary template, a letter of wishes. And that does cover things like digital assets, you know, digital accounts, wishes for funerals, particular personal belongings if they want something to happen, pets, you know, all these things that, you know, and you, when you look at your life, this can be so much to it for people that you really need to be able to provide direction for your executors. So, in terms of Sage, how can you help people? Like, what is the process when someone comes to me and they say, "Oh, I need probate, but there's all this other stuff," and I say, "Oh, well, you should speak to Danielle." What, you know, what does that look like? That first contact, getting
Yeah,
together, what does that look like?
absolutely. So I offer a 1 hour complimentary consult to the executor or next of kin or whoever is positioned to administer the estate. First of all, I really love doing this because it shines a light on these potential 40 different admin items and it gives the executor the opportunity to assess their capacity to take it on. I find that a lot of people agree to the executor role without really knowing or understanding what the commitment is. And that's just the way our society is. It's not something that we are provided training or education on. So what I try to do is provide that education and training through that 1 hour complimentary consult. And once we uncover and identify, a possible list of 40 different action items, at least the executor has then been able to make an informed decision. Do I have the technical ability? Do I have the mobility to go down to a bank and open a deceased estate bank account? Do I have a printer at home? Do I feel comfortable using email? Do I have time or do I have other dependents and business and travel commitments? So that in itself is certainly shines a light on the executor role if people weren't already aware. And then I would be providing a fixed fee for my service just based on the time that I know that it takes to deal with XYZ amount of admin tasks. And I provide that as a fixed service fee, and then the family is more than welcome to take the list that we've identified in discovery and go and do it themselves now that they've got a really good clear-cut idea of what they need to do. I have to say, though, 100% of people that have had a consult with me have not taken the list to do it themselves. They were,
Reality is just slapped them in
oh, yeah,
the
overwhelmed with how much
Yeah.
there was to do. And sometimes we work in tandem. Some families will say, look, we'll take on these five things, but you do the other 30 or whatever it may be. And then from there, it's just us working together to get document policy details over to me so that then I can start the notification process. One thing I'm finding really useful is because of the long wait times for death certificates and grants of probate in the courts nationally, is I start making notifications of death before the death certificate arrives. Because if we're waiting 8 to 10 to 12 weeks for a death certificate, then we're waiting another 8 to 10 to 12 weeks for a grant of probate, we're already 6 months in
Yes,
to the
yes,
process.
yes.
So, if we can make the notifications to these organizations, for example, a superannuation fund, at least then they can send the pack out to us to start working through at our pace so that when we do get the death certificate, we just basically that's the final piece of the puzzle. We're not then waiting for them to send the pack out 3 months later. We've already pre-filled it. We've got all of our certified ID. We've got all the forms that they could possibly want signed and filled out and ready to go, so that we're already ahead of the queue. Because, the longer you wait, the longer you're going to end up at the back of the queue. So making the notifications early is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yes. And I was going to ask you that too. I mean, from a legal perspective, we say that a non-complex estate should really be wrapped up within a year of death. Is that the kind of time frame that you work towards, or is a little bit less for admin stuff, or just, I mean, a classic lawyer answer, depends.
No, I can actually say on average I've been wrapping up my clients' cases within 3 months, and I say
Okay.
that is
Very fast.
separate to a superannuation claim payment and separate to probate, because I don't have any control over that. But in terms of actually having all of the assets called into the estate and updating registration paperwork, cancelling electoral roll, licenses, insurances, utilities, all of those things, I'm wrapping up within a 3 month period. And it even sort of works quite well in that if we're doing all of this asset and liability discovery, it's something that I can even then pass over to the probate lawyer so that they've kind of already got that in hand to present with the probate application as well. So look, 3 months is on a good case, and that is on average, but it also depends on how quickly families and clients can get back to me as well.
Yeah, of
So
course, of
I
course.
can work as quickly as my families can work.
Okay, and to wrap up, what if you could give one, piece of advice to a executor that's just had somebody pass away, what would it be?
Well, it would be to reach out to Lydia and myself.
Yeah. Good. That's a good start. That's a good start.
And I would say it's really important that you do take a little bit of time to grieve first, because if you throw yourself headfirst into the administration straight up, you're going to, I guess, not have the opportunity to process that really raw human emotion. My advice would be where you do have the financial capacity or the willingness to outsource as much of the estate in administration as possible, please do it. I can say from my own experience that taking it all on myself, in amongst just the baseline grief and trauma that already existed, and then not having the ability to go to counselling for 12 months later, certainly has a lot of flow-on effects emotionally, mentally, and physically. And you just don't realize how much of an impact not processing your loss can have down the track because you're too busy processing paperwork. So my advice to executors would be spend the money, outsource it, get good financial advice before you start signing paperwork to accept a superannuation claim if it wasn't already in your estate plan. And don't try to take it all on yourself, because you're going to have your priority really should be grieving your loss.
Yes, I think that that's right. Outsourcing is a big one because grief takes, as they say, it takes all different forms and people handle it in very different ways. And definitely outsourcing, getting someone that can support you through the process. And I think in another important point, and I think we've touched on it previously, is that, most of the time, I would say that executors are also beneficiaries under a will. And it's then in very important time for you to update your will. Or get a will if you don't have one, because you've probably been recipient of sometimes significant assets, and you need to make sure that you honor the person that passed away. You honor them by ensuring that you have an up-to-date will
And that
that
it's
accurately
protected.
reflects. Yeah,
Yeah, great
absolutely.
point.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks so much for today, Danielle. I really appreciate you coming on and being our first guest. I actually love referring clients to you because they are number one, always so happy, and number two gets those annoying admin tasks off my plate,
Yep,
which is
yep.
really important. So thank you so very much.
Thank
And
you.
what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
So they can check me out on my website, which is www.sageexecutorsolutions.com.au, and you'll find all my contact details on there. So even if you're not sure if you need any help or not, please reach out. I'm happy to have no further obligation, quick chat on the phone with anyone that rings through.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's podcast. I hope that you enjoyed it. Please like and follow and share, particularly if you know someone that has had somebody they love pass away recently. Danielle is definitely someone to contact. So thanks so much, and I will speak to you next week. Bye. That's a wrap for this episode of the Vicar Law Podcast, Protecting Legacies, Resolving Conflicts. I hope you found today's insights helpful in navigating your legal journey. If you're ready to take the next step in securing your legacy or finally dealing with your dispute, visit www.vicarlaw.com.au to book a free consultation with me, Lydia Vicar. You can also subscribe to our newsletter or find out more about today's topic. Your future begins now, and we're here to guide you every step of the way. Until next time, I'm Lydia Vicar, signing off. The Vicar Podcast comprises general information and does not serve as a substitute for professional advice. Prior to making any legal decisions, individuals are advised to seek independent professional guidance and assess the suitability of this information for their own individual goals and objectives.